proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. What an exciting program we have for you today. It's called Understanding Our Divinity. This series is so powerful that even when I'm putting it together, I mean, I get so excited. Why? Because it's bringing us over into this supernatural realm. This is where I believe the humans have been designed to operate. It's only when we fell down that natural realm, it was only because of the sins of Adam. Well, we've been redeemed. Now we can come back up to this supernatural level. Well, the key to understanding how to do this is to understand our divinity. Now, when we talk about divinity, we mean something that's godlike. You see, you and I were made in the image and the likeness of God. Image means exact duplicate of kind. You know, if I have something and I'm looking in a mirror, or I, you know, when I see in that mirror and look at it, it's my reflection. It looks just like me. See, we're the image of God. We're made in His image. He did it on purpose. He did it. Praise the Lord. But not only that, He put His nature inside of us. The nature of a cow is to moo. Moo. The nature of a dog is to bark. Arf. Well, if you go out there and see a cow barking, you know, there's something strange about that cow. Well, the nature of God is inside of us. And now we're to act just like our Father. Now, I know that's a concept that some people have fought and so forth, but let me go through the scriptures with you and let you see who you really are in Christ. Guaranteed, it'll change your actions. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Get ready to go into it. It's a powerful series. It's called Understanding Our Divinity.
Romans chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what of God? Are the sons of God. Now, the objective of this teaching is really to bring you into perfect fellowship with God. And the reason why I'm doing that is so that you and I can know who we are. You know, I saw in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Okay, now, image and likeness. What's image? Image is the exact duplicate of kind. What is likeness? Likeness is the mode by which man operates. In other words, he functions like God. So the likeness has to do with the function, and the image has to do with the duplication. So he put likeness after image because I got to have the right image to act right. I've got to have the right nature to operate like God. For example, what is the nature of a cow is to moo. Moo. Am I right about it? What's the nature of a dog? It's to bark. Arf, arf. Is that about right? Okay. Now, suppose I see a cow out there. Arf, arf, arf. Man, that is some kind of freaky cow. Okay. Now, my point to you is that there's a nature that we expect in them to act a certain way. And I'm saying that you have the divine nature of God inside of you. Are you following what I'm saying? And there is a function of way that you should be operating here And the reason why is because even though our nature is changed, the reason why people are not acting like that is that they're still entrapped in the flesh and the mind. The mind has not been renewed. The flesh is still trained to do the old things that it does and the way that it does things. The mind is still unrenewed to think the same old thoughts that it used to think. So even though the spirit is born again, brand new, it cannot operate past the mind and the body. Now, you following what I'm saying? So what are we doing now? We are getting an understanding of our divinity. We are retraining our minds, because if we can ever retrain these minds, then the mind's going to tell the body what to do. Are you following what I'm saying? And we, full of the word, will act like our Father. Are you following what I'm saying? Over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says this: be ye imitators of God as dear children. The word that's used in the King James is followers, but we get the same Greek word, mimic, from that word. It means to mimic God. And so what we're to do as children of God is to act like Daddy. Got it? We're to act like Daddy. We're to imitate Him. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. And look at verse 24. These are the disciples now. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's the disciples on the ship in the sea. And it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. Now he said, come. Now notice what Peter asked to do. Now I think that had to be a revelation of its own. He said, bid me to come to thee, how? On the water. He didn't say swim. He didn't say, you know, backstroke. He didn't say any of that. He said, bid me to come to you on top of the water. Now that took some thinking outside the box to be able to do that. All right, verse 29, and he said, come. Jesus said, come. So you know it must have been the will of God that Peter be able to express his nature like that, because if it wasn't the will of God, Jesus never would have said, come. Because if he'd said, come, he would have violated the will of God, and Jesus never violated the will of God, not one time. So it is God's plan for you to operate in the supernatural. Can I get an amen in this house? All right, look what it says. Verse 29, when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said to him, O thou of little what? Faith. Wherefore did you doubt? Now, what am I saying now? Peter rose up above this idea of being only human. And you and I, all of us, many of us have been guilty of using that expression, oh, I'm only human. No, you're not. No, you're not. You've got a nature in you that is the same nature of Almighty God. We're coming out of this place where we've had just a human identity, and that identity has been much inferior to the identity of Christ. And so we're going to start imitating God. And the way we can imitate God is look at the life of Jesus. Say amen to that. So now we see that Peter actually walked on water, defied the laws of gravity to go to Jesus. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Mark Gospel, chapter 4. Look at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now, this is Jesus talking. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I want you to notice something here. There arose a great storm of wind. How many of you know that God is omniscient? Omniscient means all-knowing. He knows the end from when? The beginning. How many of you know he knew this storm was coming up before he ever sent him out? How many of you know Jesus wouldn't have said, let us go over to the other side if it wasn't the Father's will? So here the Father is sending him out knowing that a storm is on its way. Now, notice what happened. And he was in the hind of the, verse 38, and he was in the hind of part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. This is Jesus now. And they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Now, this is, I'm putting that in my own words, it's First Winston. Don't you care that we're about to die? Now, notice they are accusing the same one who's been taking care of them and feeding them and so forth. Now, this is the wrong image here of God, because God is a lover. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's one full of mercy. He's one full of kindness. He wants to protect you in every situation. Say amen to that. Amen. And look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now notice what he did first. He rebuked the what? Wind. Notice what he came against first. He came against something that you couldn't see. He came against something that you couldn't see. Because the root cause of what you are seeing is manifested in, you know what I'm trying to say. What you can see is being caused by something you can't see. Say amen to that. And the church is the only entity in the earth that can deal with the unseen realm. So you are the world's only hope. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with the world? The church? What the church needs to do is be about our Father's business and understanding that what you can see is just a manifestation of something you can't see. Say amen to that. Look at verse 40. And he said to them, why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have no what? Faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obeys him. Now this is interesting here, because we're talking about faith flowing. We're talking about faith flowing, because it says, what manner of man is it that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, you can say obeyed him, but it really didn't obey him. It obeyed his faith. Say amen to that. It only with faith can you move that. Say amen to that. So it was his faith that he had to have. But the key to understanding how faith flows is fellowship. It's understanding that what the enemy tries to do to keep your faith from operating is to get you condemned, to get you guilty, to get you ashamed, to get you feeling inferior, to get you, all of those are coming in this line of sin consciousness. And when that sin consciousness is there, it chokes faith off. Because faith and sin consciousness can't come in the same camp. You follow what I'm saying? So the enemy tries to remind you of something that you did wrong. And notice the first thing he tried to do was accuse Jesus of not doing his job and caring for... Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying Satan... Let's go over to Revelation chapter 12, please. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon... Are you there? Say praise the Lord. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the who? Devil. And who? Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. How much is left after the whole? None. So you're in the world, but you're not what? Of the world. You're not to be deceived. So he was cast out into the earth. So here comes the devil. Look at me. Here comes the devil. He causes a storm and tries to make him think that God sent it. Isn't that deception? But Jesus is not deceived. He knew where that storm came from. Look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down. Which accused them before our God. How long? day and night. Not only will he accuse you before God, but he'll accuse you before anybody else. He works on accusation and tries to tell you and remind you of your past and what you did in this, and you didn't do that right, and so forth and so on. What is he trying to do? Trying to weaken you. Because sin consciousness, if that can get into your system, it's like a cancer of the spirit. It will weaken your system. You'll be bent over and can't lift back up again. And that's what happens in people's lives when they listen to too much of the lies of the devil. And I know we all got some bad road back there. If you don't have no bad road back there, I need to cast the devil out of you, because you're living. You follow what I'm saying? But the fact of it is that any man that's in Christ, come on now, help me now. Come on over there. Come on over. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. See, we gonna get the devil off your trail here. Say amen to that. See, you don't even need to be ashamed. See, that's what he said. He said in Isaiah chapter 40, chapter 54, I think, he said, you shall forget the shame of your youth. Over in Joshua, and I think it's Joshua chapter 5, just before he was taking them into Canaan land, here's what he said. He said, after they'd gotten circumcised, he said, now I'm going to roll away the reproach. In other words, all the shame of your path in Egypt, all the time that the devil had you doing stuff that you never really wanted to do, I'm going to roll away the reproach. I'm going to make it so that there you won't even remember the devil has ever been in your life. Say amen to that. Then you see, Jesus took our sin. How many of you know he took it? And he not only took it, he took the punishment for it. He became sin for us, took all the punishment. Then he died, hung his head, gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He gave it up. And then they buried him. But in 3 days, come on, help me now. In 3 days, come on, help me now. He came up. He was the first man born again from death to life. You see, to get you born again, he had to go through death's door to get you out and bring you out of there. Say amen to that. So now, when he was raised up, the first thing he did was he entered into open combat with Satan himself and defeated him, watch this, and took everything back that he had stolen, including your dignity. Glory to God. You got your dignity back. He then, Mary saw him, tried to touch him. He said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to your father and my father. My father and your father. Then he then took the blood up there, and put it on the mercy seat. Now up there is a big courtroom. And up there, the father is the judge. And the devil is the accuser. That means he's the prosecuting attorney. But we have an attorney for the defense. He's an advocate for the people of God. His name is Jesus. So after Satan had presented his case, then the judge said, can we hear from the defense? Jesus stands up. He has on a vest, some like mine. He said, well, yes. He said, I'm for the defense, Your Honor. I'm an attorney here, and I'm an advocate for them. And he said, well, do you have any witnesses? He said, yes, sir, I have one big witness. With the blood, please take the stand. Praise God. Will the blood take the stand? He said, what do you say? Not guilty. I paid the price. Let them go. They didn't do it. I did it. I'm taking their place. Boy, I'm preaching now. So now, look at this. Look at verse 11. Are you with me? And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb. Now that's one witness right there. And come on, and by the word, come on, of their testimony. See, you need two witnesses. The blood is one witness, but you are the second witness. And you got to say what God said. And God said, there is therefore no condemnation. That's all you got to do. And the judge will say, case closed. He's acquitted. Let her go free. Folks, you got to keep your mouth lined up with God's word. I don't care how bad it looks, because the enemy's job is to steal your witness. The blood is going to witness. He's going to tell his story, but he needs two witnesses. Out of the mouths of two, let every word be established. He needs two witnesses, and you're the qualifying witness. So don't never say nothing but what God said. I don't care what they say about you and what they come against you. Are you following what I'm saying? Are y'all following this? So now, in this, righteousness, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I told you go there, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians and chapter, man, I felt like I'm preaching, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He's a who kind of creature? He's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, how many things have become new? All things become new. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Jesus, that we might be what? Made the what? Righteousness of God in him. When Jesus showed up in that room, his disciples, he walked right through the wall because he was in his glorified state. But guess what he had? He still had holes in his hand and a hole in his side. And I believe God left them there so that we'll have a surety of knowing that that's the same one who died for us. But notice, that was evidence of his previous life. Can't you see what I'm saying? We might have evidence today that we didn't live right. But notice, that didn't stop him from going right to the Father. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, I want to bring out a point here. When a person feels condemned or a person feels a sense of low self-esteem or guilt or shame about the past, or just feel unworthy and so forth and so on, then sin, sickness, and disease, and Satan, they become, literally can become that person's master. Now that's a strong word, but it's a word for anybody listening to me out there. That's what the enemy wants. You see, when condemnation is in our hearts, faith doesn't flow. And we need faith because faith is the way we please God, but faith is also a way to put up a shield. See, the shield of faith protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. So we need that faith, and God wants us to have that faith. So what does he do? He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, he doesn't want us to be in unrighteousness because that opens the door for the enemy to manipulate our lives. The next thing you know, we're repeating the same thing we said we weren't going to do last time. You see? So guilt and shame and condemnation, Paul said it like this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. The address and phone number on your screen. This is a powerful teaching. This is the one you need, folks. One man said it like this, the teaching on righteousness is something that is a number one need of the church. That's what he said. And I believe that. Because there are so many places I go that people sitting in the pews are still feeling condemned. still feeling guilty about the past and all of that, what does it do? It weakens your spirit. And what happens? Faith won't flow. And you need faith to please God and to get your promises. Praise God. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Do you know who you really are? Do you understand what you really have? Do you have any idea of what you can really do? Stop living your life with limits. Take advantage of your rights as a child of God. It's time that we understand our divinity.
You ain't what you used to be. Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things. I'm going this way.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God.
You gotta rise up and know that you are the righteousness of God and that you've got a nature of a ruler. And you got something to say about this entire earth.
Order Understanding Our Divinity today, and Dr. Bill Winston will explain why God's nature is inside of you to act just like Him, why faith is established by righteousness, how you can awake to righteousness and sin not, and much more.
Righteousness is not the goody-goody way you act. That's holiness. See, righteousness is your nature. If you know what your nature is, it'll make you act right.
To order your copy of Understanding Our Divinity, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. We were created in the image and likeness of Almighty God, and He desires for us to understand our divinity. Order your copy of Understanding Our Divinity today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
The devil knows that if you find out your nature, you find out who you are and act on it, his days of dominating your life in any area are over.